2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Nightside. This is the Nightside Project.
This is a twisted web. And we are not finished untangling it.
Nightside on KSL.
A limited edition spring season.
It's beautiful out there, Alex. Spring is in the air.
Yeah, so are your respiratory droplets, so stay away from me.
The Nightside Project with Ethan Millard and Alex Carey. Streaming live on Alexa and on KSL News Radio at 102.7 FM.
All right, welcome to the Nightside Project. I'm Ethan Millard here with Alex Carey. Thanks so much for tuning in tonight, everybody.
I want to say something.
Yeah.
One, I'm never that mean to you in real life, right?
No.
We were coached to be more mean than we usually are. And it was mostly me being mean. And
people
I didn't like the
tension. I think people like the tension.
I don't.
You don't?
No. I mean, I'll make fun of you, but it's all in good fun. But that was, it's like, all of them are like, yeah, Ethan, I actually hate you. And you're like, ha-ha, and I'm going, jeez, why are we?
Oh, you mean those intros.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, no, you're right.
I'm like, jeez, we overdid those.
Yeah, we were in there with Kevin, and Kevin was like, okay, now put it just a little more edge into it.
But I want you to, like, make Ethan feel bad. I want you to make him feel bad. Welcome to the show, by the way. So here we are. Second hour of the program on a Friday.
Yeah, I got some headlines.
Oh, you have your headlines.
Yeah, man.
Perfect.
You ready?
Absolutely.
How about this? Kim Jong-un's Supreme Commander emblem has been erased from Korean TV, according to a new report.
What does that mean?
The emblem, composed of a Marshall star and wreath, was absent in multiple shows about Kim and covered up in one segment that airs daily on Korean Central Television.
Hold on. Did you say, what's the seal? A marshmallow and a star?
Yes, a Marshall star.
Oh.
And a wreath. And anyway, it was also covered up in a 15-minute video on the country's new propaganda slogans. The video was edited sometime between February 18th and 19th when it was covered up. So there are two options here. Number one.
So he could be dead.
Number one, North Korea and Kim Jong have stopped using the Supreme Commander title, and they've been referring to him as Commander in Chief instead of Supreme Commander, and so they think, okay, it's possible that is part of it, that the absence of the symbols related to the title change,
huh.
Or you know, it's also added to the speculation that. Him and his health because he's totally disappeared.
But we do have really, really reliable video from North Korea of him winning the NBA title back in 2004. So I think that we all know that he's alive still.
That's right.
It's interesting. I'm going to be honest. I didn't expect any Kim Jong-un.
I was listening to an interview with Dennis Rodman.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's funny.
Yeah, what a dystopian future that we live in now when the guy that we can access a tyrant dictator is through one of our weirdest characters of sport ever imagined.
So he was talking about how this whole process came about. North Korea hit him up, he and this other basketball player, to go. And he said, I didn't know anything about North Korea. So, you know, I just went, we did this, and then, you know, and I was there, and this guy, Kim Jong-un, came up to me afterwards and started talking to me. I didn't know who he was. I was like, who is this guy? And I didn't know what to think about it. I didn't know whether to believe Dennis Rodman that he had no idea anything about North Korea and no idea anything about that family.
Absolutely.
And was just completely ignorant.
100%.
Or if he's not telling the truth. And either way, I don't know which is worse.
I'm telling you, it's the former.
Some people are just fine with just being manifestly ignorant about so many things. Like, yeah, man, I have no idea about any of this.
Yeah, I'm telling you.
But I'm really surprised. I mean, I'm surprised that someone could operate on a national level and just be completely ignorant of like some basic things. You know? I mean, it's not like we're asking him to name the prime minister of Madagascar.
And he knows what the score is now, but I'll tell you.
Well, of course he knows it
all,
now. But
all these guys who are rock stars, basketball players, student abroad for the first time. All of these are their first kind of goes into the real world. I'm just saying a totally different world, right?
Mm-hmm.
And think about what you knew about Eastern Europe before you lived over there. You know what I mean?
Like, well, yeah, but I was also a teenager.
But see, think about Dennis Rodman. I don't even know if Dennis Rodman definitely didn't finish college before he went on to earn millions and millions of dollars in the NBA. So what I'm saying is he's not exactly the geography bee champion. You know, just like when I always think about what's his name? Who's the Doors lead singer who's buried in Paris? Jim Morrison. Buried in Paris, right? And you're like, what on earth were you doing in Paris? It's like, it turned out he really loved it and he died there. But it's just like, you know, some of these people end up kind of going to place, figuring some stuff out about there. Dennis Rodman made it a massive, it was kind of a career pivot for him.
Yeah.
Because he was able to have like this weird second career out of being known as the guy who can almost be kind of, he's like, I'm basically the ambassador to North Korea. You know,
like, so he said this in an interview this week. He said, quote, I do have communications with North Korea, but I can say this though. If you see his sister on TV, Kim Jong's sister, yeah, which we have, running the country, now you know something is wrong. That's all I'm going to give you. He told that to Piers Morgan.
So is his sister on TV?
Yeah, apparently. And and Robin also said, quote, his sister is a sweetheart. She was very kind to me when I was a guest. This is like a family such epically terrible mass murderers.
He's keeping the door open. Oh, yeah.
You know what?
Then he goes back and he goes, you guys still have that lamb dish that you guys make? Could I still get that? Like, I'm telling you.
You know what this reminds me of? This reminds me of this really funny bit by that comedian that you and I both like, the British guy, Eddie Izzard.
Eddie Izzard, yes.
And he has this funny bit where he talks about murder. And he said, if you just murder like a few people, you're terrible. You're a terrible person. But once the number of people that you murder gets up into the thousands, tens of thousands,
we start to kind of go.
Everyone's like, oh, well done. You know, it's like, okay, good job.
Well accomplished. And
that's kind of where Robin is. Oh, yeah, his sister's a sweetheart.
Jesus, sweetheart.
It's like you can kill, you can respond, you can be responsible
people.
For enough deaths that people just don't care anymore. They're like, oh, all right, fine.
Yeah.
You killed 30,000 people. All right. Well, but I mean, you seem like a nice guy.
Ethan, do you have any more headlines for me?
Oh, yes, I do.
I just love that he puts he's bold enough to just straight up put a marshmallow in his seal. It's just like a sword and the marshmallow.
All right. For two French brothers, this coronavirus situation has really paid off. Their parents decided to leave Paris when France imposed the lockdown. They moved to a family home in the town of Vendôme, I guess, southwest of Paris. I don't know.
It's pronounced Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Jean-Claude Vendôme. The boys, both age about 10, asked to build a makeshift hut in the garden using branches, leaves, and sheets. And so what they did is they went out into the backyard They first got out these sheets. They said, hey, use these old sheets. So they did, dragged them out in the backyard, and out of the sheets fell gold bars.
What?
Can you believe that?
Can you believe
that? Now, hold on. That?
Do you keep
they weighed
down. Here's
one
the thing.
Kilogram, 2.2 pounds each.
How many were there?
Two.
Oh, my goodness.
Two gold bars. They've been wrapped up.
Yeah.
They had been wrapped up in these old sheets.
Yeah. So here's the question. Here's the morality question, then. Do you keep them or do you return them back to the Nazis? Because that's exactly who they are, right?
No.
Come on. Who? Listen.
Now, that's kind of a long time ago, though.
Okay. Kind of a long time ago? This isn't pretty. This is World War II.
So let's do the math. Hold on a second. Let's do the math.
Yeah, 70-something years.
So these boys' fathers, their father is in his 60s. Okay. So this is, he had kids late, I guess.
All right.
So these boys are 10. The father's in his 60s.
Sure.
Their late grandmother. So this guy's father,
ding,
her home. It was her old sheets in a spare room that had been hers.
Yep.
So, yeah, okay. Well, that's definitely the generation.
They're either hiding them from the Nazis. That's what I'm saying. Do you keep them or do you return them back to the Nazis? I'm saying, what does it make it more valuable if it has a Third Reich seal on it?
Well, there are actually photos here.
Oh, no Third
Reich
seal?
Of the gold bars. And there are a bunch of things stamped on them, but I don't see any any Nazi things.
Well.
Anyway, they are listed. Oh, no, hold on. Hold on.
Here it comes.
No.
This makes me happy.
No, we can set aside the conspiracies.
What is it?
They have a proof of purchase for when the bars were purchased. They were purchased by the grandmother in 1967.
There you go.
And they found the receipt. So
your grandma was loaded because even
in
back
the clear.
Then, 2.2 kilograms?
2.2 pounds
Okay,
each.
So 1 kilogram.
1 kilogram each.
So 2.2 pounds. I mean, you're talking 16 ounces per. You're talking 32. So you're talking almost 35 ounces, 36 ounces of gold. Two of them. That's nice.
They're worth about 43 grand a piece. That's what their estimated value is.
It's awesome. It's a good time to own gold. All right, taking the break here. We've got more to go on the show. Stay with us. We've got tons of fun things to do. Oh, we've got our... it's not coming up next, but we do have one of our horoscopes and also one of our pointless Friday quizzes. Stay with us.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed
everything. It was violent, it was senseless. And I will never understand it. I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.